Good evening, it's good to be with you. This evening, I'll be discussing about favoritism. And if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles out and turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And we're going to look at a few verses this evening from James chapter 2. In this lesson, we'll see that we must stay away from favoritism, and we will also see how we should treat everyone as being equal. James chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 this evening, and we'll just go ahead and take off and read there. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothes, and say, "You sit here in a good place," and you say to the poor man, "You stand over there, sit down by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Verse 6, but you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And we're just going to break these verses down a little bit this evening, and that's all we're going to do. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, you know, we must not show personal favoritism. Jesus did not show favoritism, neither should we. He saw to people's needs, and it didn't matter their status. Their status did not matter. He showed love to all that he came in contact with. Proverbs 28 and verse 21. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. Partiality can cause a lot of problems. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 21. And this is disciples talking to Jesus here. They question him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to anyone, but teach the way of God in truth." You know, they knew that Jesus showed no partiality. And Peter in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, the Bible reads, "Opening his mouth, Peter said, 'I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality.' It took Peter some time, but he did learn that God is not partial to anyone." Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Probably a very, very familiar verse. Romans 2 and verse 11. "For there is no partiality with God." So we have several verses that teaches us that God is not partial. Neither should we be. We should not be partial either. We must try to treat everyone equally. Do we show favoritism sometimes? Do we show that? You know, how inviting are we when we have visitors come to services? You know, many times, sometimes we never know when someone might be looking for a congregation to attend regularly. They might be looking for a home congregation. It's good to be able to visit with one another. We can see that as being good, but we should be watchful for those who come in as visitors and be warming to them, be of service to them if we can. You know, a person's financial status should not matter when it comes to greeting and meeting people. We are all souls who are wanting to get to heaven and take others with us. We must remember that Christ shows no favoritism so we must follow his example. Now, we'll read this. I read this earlier, but in James 2:9 there, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So we must be careful not to show partiality. How do we show partiality? Well, we do it by talking to some and not talking to all, not paying attention to those around us. Things that we say to others that we wouldn't say to someone else. Many times we can show partiality without meaning to do that. Second thing this evening is coming out of James chapter 2 verses 2 through 4 there. James chapter 2 verses 2 through 4. Make no distinction. Whether a person comes in with a gold ring or no ring and filthy clothes, we must be careful not to be partial to either one. God does not care about our status, money-wise. He looks at our hearts. He looks at our hearts. We must be loving to each and every soul. God looks at your heart and not what's in your wallet. You know, it's good to have money, but we know the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The poor man is rich in God's eyes. The poor man is rich in God's eyes. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 6. Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. We must pay attention to all in our assembly. The world tries to tell us to treat the rich better, but a poor man many times has a better outlook on life. Many times our perspectives on life can change, and it may be because of recent things that happen in our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We must let our light shine in every aspect in our life, so others might see us as an example to follow. If we show partiality, then we aren't letting our light shine. When we show partiality, we are being judges ourselves. We become judges ourselves. We only have one judge, and that is God. God is our judge. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 17. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 17, this is Solomon. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man. For a time, for every matter, and for every deed is there. You know, we aren't to be judges, but we can be judges only if it's righteous judging. Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. God is the only judge, so we must not judge those around us unless it's righteous judging. If we know that someone's doing wrong, then we must not follow them and do the same thing. We mustn't get caught up in worldly things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. But you be sober-minded in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul knew the struggles Timothy was going to face. He was speaking of things that he had endured as a preacher. Paul was preparing Timothy for what was to come, or at least be ready to face it. All who come into our assembly needs to feel a warmth, whether rich or poor, and we must be careful how we treat them. It's okay to invite some to sit by you. That's okay. And just make sure the same offer will go to others. We are all working together, and others need to see that. They need to see that we are working together. Third thing this evening deals with James chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 there. The poor are rich in faith. God made the poor rich in faith. Many times the poor believe they are rich, not with money, but their faith. Sometimes they have they're more appreciative of what they have. Psalm 49, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 49, verses 1 through 3. Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Verse 3. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. The Bible is made for all people. There is no one that's more prominent than the other. We must learn to help each other get to heaven. Dishonor is something we never want to do to anyone, to anyone, God or the poor man. It's bad to dishonor. If we choose the rich over the poor, then we dishonor the poor. And we need to be careful of that. The poor are people just like we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Christ was rich, but became poor for our sake. He bore our sins to the cross, and it should be a reminder to us that he did it willingly. He could have came down off the cross and said, forget it. You know, these people, they don't need forgiveness. But it's God's will that we have forgiveness of sins. Now, wherefore, in the old law, they did not. Christ had everything, but he sacrificed himself for us. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7. Proverbs 13 and verse 7. There is one who pretends to be rich, but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, but has great wealth. You know, it's weird how the people treats the rich and the poor. But we Christians treat one another with love in our hearts. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And then we'll go down to verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, go on down to verse 23. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The Bible talks a lot about love. It is commanded, it is what is commanded from us. 1 Corinthians 13, very familiar chapter there, the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, but now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Faith is something we must have to get into heaven. Can our faith grow weak? And yes, it can. It can grow weak. We must try to keep a strong faith because we know that Satan is trying to get us in our weak times. You know, the many healings that Jesus had done, those who were being healed, they had to have faith. They had to have faith. And Jesus saw it. God knows when our faith is weak. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. Luke chapter 8 and verse 25. And this is Jesus asked the disciples a question here. And it's a question that we need to ask ourselves sometimes. And he said to them, where is your faith? They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? We know that's a very good question. Where is your faith? That's a healthy question for us to ask. We need to try to put more more in ourselves, not to trust in self, but we need to trust God. Then our fourth thing this evening, James chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. James chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is still discussing that the rich blaspheme God's name. You know, we need to love your neighbor as yourself. Are we practicing just that? Or are we just loving self? You know, it's easy to get caught into worldly thoughts and see if we can move up financially in this world. But we must remember that all that we have is the Lord's. Everything that we have is the Lord's. We have all these things because He has blessed us with jobs, with things, with money, and we must be forever grateful that He continues to provide for our needs. It's easy to get caught up in our own needs, but what about the needs of others? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35, and it's the last part of that verse. It is more blessed to give than receive. Many times we show partiality without even noticing what we're doing, when we're doing it. The main thing we need to know is showing partiality or favoritism, it is a sin. How do we keep from doing this? Well, we need to try to treat everyone as being equal. We need to meet new people, get out of our comfort zone, meet and greet those who come in and who's visiting. We need to help keep track of those who haven't been coming to services sometimes. Give them a call, give them a card, show them that we care. Find ways to be of service. We can't just sit the bench and wait for others to do our part. Each one of us can do something, but we must be willing to work. The Lord needs workers. They are few. There are things that can get overlooked easily, so we must pay attention and help make our visitors feel welcome. It's good to show hospitality, whether inviting them over to eat or going out to eat with them. You know, that's one thing Bree and I saw as we were in Texas. That's one thing that we saw when we went door knocking. There was folks in that community that took each and every one of us in. We got to meet and greet them and learn about them and learn about the community. And that was such a neat thing to do. But it's something that we must practice as well. I remember the first time we went to services there in Seagoville. Very first time, someone took us out to eat. They offered to take us out to eat, and right after services, and that was such a neat thing. Like I said, we felt warmth as soon as we got there. And I have to question sometimes: do we do the same thing here? And we should. We should practice hospitality. But we have opportunities to serve. If you have an opportunity to serve, then that's something that we must do. We mustn't show partiality. We must reach out to those all around. But this evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God and haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk, maybe you need prayers of the church. Whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.